Yeah, we're here with John Brock at Port Mulgrave, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. I've just been taking a few photographs, but the sun's come out quite an anger at the moment, so I thought we'd sit and chat about one of your recent projects.
Yep.
We saw an extract of your book, I think it was issue 30 or something like that.
Yeah.
What made you, what was the driver behind creating a book?
I think sometimes you need a mechanism of completing a period of time when you've been doing something.
Yeah.
And I'd have been photographing for about 5 years and had explored quite a number of ideas and themes around photography. It's really, I'd say that's my first really period of serious photography.
Yeah.
And I was feeling, it needed something to bring that period of time to conclusion, to an end. One of the challenges in photography is that, how do you actually bring something to an end, to a conclusion, to a finish? And that seemed to be a very good way of doing it. So
so when you say, what was this period, how did that period start?
It started actually with some photography trips with my friend Dave Tolcher, probably 6-7 years ago, when we came, when we were both working in York together. Came, in fact, to Saltwick, where hopefully we'll go this evening.
Yes.
Made a few images there and at Whitby. At that stage, I'd just getting into camera photography again after a probably 15, 20 year break. So, it was fun, but I described the standard of photography as pretty appalling. So Dave was going on a photography course with David Ward.
Okay.
Up in Scotland, and I thought maybe the following year I'd give that a go. So I joined David up in Glencoe, and learnt huge amounts from a great photographer in a very short period of time.
And
watched him work, and noticed he was using a 5.4 camera.
Yeah.
So I thought, maybe is this for me? This is not for me. So I talked to him. I talked to Joe, who I'd also met, and I eventually bought a just a fairly cheap wooden large format camera, rosewood thing, and had a go with that and quite kind of got on with it. And then I went on a workshop with Joe as well, and just took to it. And finally had that difficult decision to make at that point. Do I go with a wooden camera or do a Joe was definitely arguing for the wood.
there was a bit of a stress between the two there, wasn't there?
No.
Joe and the Ebony's and David on the technical German cameras.
Yeah, well, I went with the TK, which I don't regret at all. It's a beautiful camera. And I just moved from there. So, I would say, through that time, I was just developing ideas, picking ideas up from all, absorbing them from all sorts of places. Some of the images that Joe and David had taken, for example, triggered an idea, a way of seeing. In fact, the image we'd just taken was triggered by an image I saw that David did of a nice feather up in Glencoe. The whole concept of using reflected light, and hopefully that will pick up the blues.
Yes.
From the sky, reflected in the water and the shade.
One of the nice areas in the cliffs around where we are is that we can get a very sunny day, but we've still got shade.
That's right.
But good reflections.
Yeah.
So the book is very much an introspection on what you've learned, really, for that.
It is. I mean, there's a number of... and I would say I also, at that stage, started writing as well. There's a very strange symbiotic relationship between the images and the text I was writing. It's difficult sometimes to understand where, the writing and the thinking inform the pictures, and the pictures were informing the writing and the thinking, and the two are interconnected quite a lot. So a number of the ideas I played with, one... very much early on was around taming the complex, about how do you get compositions that seem to make the brain sing. And I think one of the very first articles I wrote on my website about 5-6 years ago was one that was talking about exactly that concept of patterns and the relationship between music, which is a great passion of mine as well, and photography. So a number of the ideas around that. How do you create balance yet dynamism in an image? So I talk about this concept of dynamic balance, where you get compositional balance, colour balance, tonal balance in an image, but at the same time create this sense of energy that moves around. And I think for me, you know, that's been a key part of my exploration in photography. And all the way to the book, I themed it pretty much like that. There were ideas that I'd been playing with over that period of time, wrote about, and then the images seemed to, you know, inform and flow out of that work.
So the book was always going to be a discussion of composition, or was it?
No, it's never. No, not at that stage. It's probably it's a reflection of the investigations I've been making into photography.
Yeah.
You know, over the period of time. So, I very much started around composition. I think, as probably most people who start around photography do. You know, and began to understand that, you know, certain patterns were coming up many times.
Yeah.
You know, among some of the great photographers I looked, you know, and I think we talked about this. I remember 2-3 years ago, we both did the same thing. I think where we
looked at shapes and
tried to, you know, abstract them down to you know, a few lines and shapes.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable how the same compositional patterns come up time and time again. Because you know, I guess it's I think I said at the time, it's a you know, probably consequence of our evolution.
Yes.
You know. Dodging lions or whatever, you know, in Africa, you know, to be able to see the pattern of a lion approach you is a pretty important survival.
Simply finding animal paths and things like that is looking for curves and lines. And
exactly. Yeah. So I very quickly, you know, began to explore patterns, you know, and as opposed to formal rules of composition, which I don't, you know, don't believe in it. But it's not that I think those rules are wrong. It's just that they reflect, you know, a very small number of patterns that you can actually work. Yeah. Exactly. You know, why should you put an object on a third? Well, you can, because you can balance.
You know,
there are certain compositions that work very well, but you can put the same object virtually anywhere in the frame, but relate it to other objects and still get that sense of dynamic balance in the image.
So when you were looking at doing the book, presumably you looked at different ways of producing it, or were these originally going to be blog posts? Or
I'd always intended to write a book, but... you know, it got to the point where it was going to be a project that would never finish. And
so used it as a bit of a rod to keep you going.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, and you know, I was in danger of. I was going beyond that point I got to, and I felt I needed to bring that period of time to conclusion. I'd intended to. I think we talked about it. I intended to, you know, do a print run of a couple of hundred and sell it that way. But then I started a new job that was pretty time-consuming. Yes. It would never have happened.
You've not had much time over the last
12 months, really.
Yeah.
So I just decided to bring it, you know, to a conclusion with a blurb book.
So what was your experience of blurb? Was that a fairly straightforward process?
Fairly straightforward. The colour imaging is a little challenging from time to time. Yeah.
You find yourself doing a few different.
Yeah, and the problem is, it's a very expensive, you know, process. I mean, it's fine, I think, you know, but you know, it's not a mechanism of making a serious publishing run or anything like, because it's too expensive. I mean, the economics of it are strange,
but it's a good way of getting an object.
It's a good way of getting an object in your hands. That's right. Yeah.
In terms of colour, did you do a couple of prints and then adjust things and find another one and adjust it? And was that quite consistent as you changed things, being able to see the results?
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, on the whole. You know, given that you know you've got time between each of the print runs, and you're going to have no doubt ink and paper changing, etc. It is remarkably good. And I look at the images and I think there's probably only one or two where perhaps, you know, the blues have perhaps not gone quite how I intended.
Some colours are quite difficult, aren't they?
Yeah,
in general.
But on the whole, you know, the colours are remarkably good.
So. What now? I mean, I presume you've gone past that and you're learning other things now. So are you thinking about trying to get this book out as a print run when you've got time?
It may well happen, it may well happen.
I would suggest that it should, because I've read it and I really like it. And Joe's read it and he's a fan as well.
So. He was kind enough to write the foreword as well.
Yes.
I think what I'm interested in now is finding different ways of pulling images together into projects.
Yeah.
You know, I think I described that slightly fluid nature of the first book. It was an exploration.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do a bit more in my photography is still have that sense of innovation, because I don't like the idea that you're confined by, you know, a finite set of things that you have to do. If you can't go to a place like we have to today and create,
Yeah.
then I think the fun will go out of the photography.
Yes. You've got to be inspired occasionally with
exactly,
things.
Exactly. But at the same time, can you do a series of images that have got more of a structure to them?
Yeah.
And what are the different ways, I guess I'm exploring, of pulling structure together?
So what are you working on at the moment? Have you got a couple of different projects?
I have four or five
Yeah,
going on at the same time. I've been exploring some of the interactions between music and ways in which classical music gets structured, informing sequences of images. Exploring, and today you saw me take probably a sequence of images that are really exploring abstract paintings' connections with photography, you know, and different styles of painters influencing.
Yeah, these were for. We'll see if we can get a picture up. You've got some pictures on the website that are similar in nature.
Yeah.
But they're the textures that you get when you've got multiple layers of paint on a boat, and it wears away, and you start to get patterns with it crazing or being worn. And the one we were looking at today looked almost like a Matisse.
Yeah, very much so.
So that could be quite interesting. What you said about projects is quite interesting, that a few of the photographers I've read about have said they've had multiple projects on the go at the same time, so that they can work and be opportunistic in that way. I mean, Edward Baczynski said the projects don't close very often, and new ones are always opening.
Yeah.
And some of them die quickly.
And some of them evolve. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea, for example, about the connection music, I actually found quite constraining.
Yes.
Because one of the difficulties, I think, and I do, you know, have huge respect for people who've done, you know, for example, documentary images of particular places, you know, like Joe's work in Scotland. The hard bit is closing the known gaps.
Yes.
You know, to go in and say, I must take a photograph of that mountain that is of sufficient quality to fit in the book is a constraint to my photography.
And has to fit in with all the ones that are already there.
I don't think I'd enjoy it. It's one of the reasons I, you know, would never want to be, you know, a photographer who's paid, you know, for particular work.
Yeah.
Because I think I'd lose that sense of enjoyment and connection with the process of creating.
Yeah. We were talking about this earlier, about the... Anything that you have to do becomes a chore and becomes work. I think that's almost the definition of work, isn't it?
Something
you have to do.
I have a busy job as it is.
Yes.
So leaving
space to be opportunistic, I think, is one of the important things to play, isn't it? Mm. David talks about playing and being open to ideas.
Yeah.
And I'm sure his photography and your photography are related in the way you work with details, but you work with patterns.
Yes, I think so. I learnt a lot from David and from Jill also. Actually, Anna Booth was the photographer who was one of the most influential photographers on me.
Right.
I work, and if anybody's not seen Anna's work, but they certainly should. It's absolutely wonderful. She taught me, in just probably three or four transparencies she put on a light box, that you can go, you know, well beyond just photographing an image in front of you. The process of making an image can be the same as painting, and you can feel like you're constructing images in the way in which you would construct paint onto a canvas. And her work's fabulous, I think, and was hugely influential on me.
This is true about details, isn't it? Because I think if you're working with a wider view, it's very difficult to do that because it's almost like saying if you've got a wider view, you've only got a certain palette that you can use of ideas.
Exactly. Yeah.
As soon as your idea of what the photograph is gets smaller and smaller, the number of ingredients and the possibilities get bigger.
Absolutely,
So you can be more creative.
That's right. You know, and which is why I've explored, you know, extreme macro. So now I've gone life size, well beyond life size.
Yes.
You know, three full stops of bellows factor.
I did see you look like you've got some sort of strange cannon pointing at one of the boats earlier on. And you see that in a few different photographers who try and portray things in a more artistic's a funny word to use, being more abstract about things, being more about the patterns that generate. Elliot Porter did work very much like that as well. And where do you see that going? Are you going to try and produce a body of work out of those?
Inevitably, yeah. You know, this place, for example, I must have 40, 50 images now of Paul Mulgrave, which is book territory potentially.
Yes.
Yeah. But then the moment I conceive that as a project, I'll start to see the gaps. You know, it's been a place where I have created. Yeah. as opposed to attempt in any way to document the place, you know. And maybe that's the idea, I don't know. But
Well, how do you actually find time to take photographs? Because I'm quite impressed at the fact you've got...
I don't know.
You're just in a very new, very demanding job, and yet you still manage to get out every week to take pictures.
There's a rule I set myself, which is I make one image every weekend. Every weekend.
Yeah.
Almost without fail. Even if I just go out for 20 minutes and just, you know, find a tree stump and make an image. There's something about the familiarity with the equipment, with the process, that... just allows you to create. If you're totally confident and feeling control of the image, of the process of, you know, realizing an image, you know, you're and you know the boundaries of what you can and can't do, I just find you then you're completely in a place where you can create.
Yeah, gives you space to think about that.
Exactly. And if you leave yourself, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, you know, without making image, particularly with a large format camera, you know, you find yourself, you know, just thinking about the process of realization, and the image we just made there, you know, it was having visualized it, it was just purely a process of executing it. And you know, everything I was doing just feels comfortable, and I don't find that if I've been off for 6-7 weeks.
You're fumbling slightly with things. Mentally and physically.
It's almost, you know, as you say, any great, you know, artists, you know, the medium that they're using is almost an extension of the way they think. There's no barrier between that individual and the tools they're using. They're just part of them. And I think to do that, you have to keep shooting, particularly with a large format camera.
Will we be able to see some of the pictures? Would you
hopefully,
see a few for the article?
Yeah, hopefully.
That'd be
hopefully.
Fantastic.
Yeah, having said that, of course, that'll be the batch that come out dreadfully. But of course.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, enjoy.